meat. The other red meat.
Mama made me mash my M&M. Mama made me...
T-Bone, why is that car still on the front lawn?
Wanda, I told you last night, my catfish ain't my keys.
Damn it, T-Bone, I told you to call KPFT at 1-855-573-8227. That's 1-855-KPFT-CAR, and they'll come pick it up. And we're having catfish for lunch.
But I love my car, and I love my catfish.
Better not be as much as you love me.
Call 1-855-KPFT-CAR, 1-855-573-8227, and donate your unwanted car, truck, RV, or motorcycle to KPFT. We'll pick it up. Your tax-deductible donation entitles you to KPFT membership, hair, luster, and teeth. Call 1-855-KPFT-CAR, 1-855-573-8227. Details at kpft.org. Hair with luster and teeth may not be available.
Ha ha! Anyway, you're listening to 90.1 FM KPFT Houston, and now for something completely different.
Listeners should be aware that the following program contains language and audio images which may be found disturbing and may not be suitable for your snotty-nosed little brat who probably cusses like a sailor behind your back anyway. Parental discretion is advised.
Greetings and welcome to another edition of Technology Bites.
I'm going to assume that this microphone works, but oh yeah, now it does. Okay. We didn't give Flicted the proper information he needed to activate all microphones. Welcome to Technology Bites. I'm Jay Lee.
I'm Flicted.
I'm Barrett.
I'm Dwight.
And he's... Oh!
Mike Bell.
And he's?
Groovehouse.
Yes! All right. So, we have fired Peter Hughes. He is no longer with the show. Oh, wait. I may be actually overreacting. He's just typically waiting to be Skyped in. Because, you know, that's
sad,
how we...
Sad trombone.
What?
Sad trombone.
All right. Well, welcome to the show. We're glad you could tune in and be with us here tonight. It's weird having all this cloud cover in Houston.
Yeah, it only got up to 84 degrees. The Eric Berger was telling me that the normal high for this date is 93 degrees. So we were 9 degrees.
It's amazing how much 5 or 6 degrees makes a difference in this town.
Particularly when the sun isn't
blaring down on you. Yeah, blazing down. Sun doesn't blare, does it?
It blazes. It glares.
Wow.
That's the sun.
That's the sun.
That's Jack, yeah.
Ah, clever. Accidentally clever.
Accidentally.
All right. Doesn't he know by now what you're doing right now?
Well, that was a mass text there. Unfortunately, my family gets into these incredibly complex mass texts between everybody.
Are you sure you want to truck them over to the new service when you switch your phone?
That's a good point.
Go unlisted.
No, as often as they do it, it would save me money. One of the things, I got a new case for this iPhone. You were complaining last week about the buzzing of it.
Yeah.
And in this case, the vibration is much louder. I'm not sure what it is,
but
the design of the case makes it so when I switch it off, I like have to keep it on me. Otherwise,
no. Last week he had this case, and it was sitting on the table, and it was irritating the crap out of everyone, especially me.
Yeah,
and I think that was part of the reason why I was so testy last week.
Was just because of this case?
Just because of your damn phone? Yes.
Well, it's starting to irritate me, but it's a great case. So, deal.
What happens when Dwight and Jay are both irritated?
Dwight is self-irritating. He carries irritation in his shirt pocket like a badge.
That's right.
All right. Hey, Pete. Welcome to the show.
Glad to be here.
Glad you're here. All right. So we're going to go ahead and start putting the word out now that the Geek Gathering has a new location this month only. It's at the Rio in Las Vegas, the biggest Geek Gathering of all. Since Barrett and Flicted and myself are going to be gone, and we're just going to kind of take it off the table this month. You can still go to cons. I'm sure the normal group of people will still show up, but there won't be any actual official Technology Bites presence unless Dwight just feels like he needs to go by there or Groove House is not showing up.
I might stop by there just to make sure that,
that nobody else showed up.
That nobody else showed up.
Check for food
trucks. Territory, yeah.
Oh, there's a food truck, but I already ate.
So there will be, what is the date that it's not?
The first?
The first?
It is, no, actually it's the second.
Right, so it's August 2nd, the first
Friday
of the month.
All Fridays before a Saturday in August.
There will be no gift.
Is when it's not.
Right. Right. So the next one will be the first Friday in September.
The next one will be September, the 6th, which comes after the last Saturday in August. Afflicted.
It should be always left after the last Saturday.
Not the last Saturday.
Always.
Not
specifically in August, but the last Saturday of the month.
Well, you'd think that.
I'm sure
we could overthink it into a way that it's not true.
Except on a leap year.
Not if Saturday's the 1st.
But it'd still be the last Saturday of the previous month.
Saturday would be the first Saturday of the first month, or of that month, right?
Yeah, but it's still after the last Saturday.
Yeah, okay.
Technically.
Logically, it's still true.
The Saturday before Saturday is what you meant.
Now, if you said it's
Saturday,
always...
I knew we could overthink this.
If you said it's always, the previous Saturday is always the last Saturday of the previous month, and that would not be always be true.
I want to counter with an exclusive or.
I'd like to buy a retraction. All right, so visit us online, geekradio.com. That is our website, and that is where you will see the Knot announcement for the Knot Geek Gathering not happening on our website. You can also hang out with us IRC, irc.cuckoo.com, in the channel Tech Bytes. You can use your own IRC client if you have one and you know how to do that. Otherwise, we do have a Java-based client available on our website, which you could use.
I didn't go look at the website. Did you put Geek Gathering in parentheses and then put a bang in front of it?
No.
Oh.
I haven't done anything to the website except update the podcast. So that's all I've got.
If anyone's going to DEF CON, though, Yeah, Jay, no. Jay watches Twitter. Like, tweet Jay. Or actually, our Facebook page would be a good place to say, hey, I'm going to be there. Maybe we could do some kind of a meetup or get a drink.
Guess what? I heard a couple days ago from Moxie, and he's going to be there this year. So
cool.
We can hang out with Moxie.
Yeah, have you heard about the kerfuffle? How do you say that? I don't want to say it wrong.
You know, the thing is, when that came out...
Not the kerfluffer, which is completely different.
Although I'm sure he'll be there, too.
I was looking for the tweet.
Captain Kerfluffer.
I was looking for the tweet that started it. I couldn't find it.
The tweet that started the kerfuffle?
Yeah.
I couldn't find it.
Well, I mean, the short of it is that maybe a week or so ago, Dark Tangent, who is the guy that created DEF CON...
It did not start as a tweet. It started as an update to the website. There were tweets that pointed to the website, but it was at defcon.org.
I'd seen tweets that said something like, did you see what Dark Tangent tweeted? What do you think about it? And so I was like searching through the DEF CON feed and his feed.
Everything's a tweet. Even if it doesn't happen on Twitter.
Well, the deal is that there's always been like a
Did you see his blog about that?
He's going to blog that.
He's going to write about it. There's always been a little bit of like a federal presence, like, you know, like a three-letter acronym kind of agencies.
Last year, the NSA was there in force. They had a
booth. Yeah, the speakers, they're recruiting.
Right next to the EFF booth.
Yeah.
Right, which was ironic enough.
Yeah, so it might have been sketchy in the early years, but as of late, everyone's been getting along. But the guy that created DEF CON, about a week ago, said that in light of Prism... Well, he started it, yeah.
No, he
didn't create it a week ago. He created it 21 years ago. But about a week ago, he said, hey, maybe it is a good idea if anyone that's involved or works for a federal agent doesn't show up this year in light of Prism and in light of all the information that everyone's been collecting, in light of we kind of trusted you guys and you guys have been snooping on us the entire time knowingly. And then, you know, of course, the pendulum swings the other way. So then a number of people said, hey, we don't like that we're being exclusionary. We're not going to talk. We're going to be exclusionary back. So I don't really know how it washed out, but there might be a couple of speakers pulling out, and maybe no feds. We'll see.
Well, the idea that I got from, you know, what Dark Tangent had said was it wasn't about punishing the Fed or punishing anybody that worked for the federal government. And he went on to say that if you have a job in the federal sector, you're still welcome to come and learn and do whatever, but there was not. He didn't want an official presence by the federal government, and it was. And the gist of it that I got,
he didn't
was,
want smiles and handshakes. Like, you can show up, but we don't have to be nice to you.
Well, he didn't want them to be officially present, so that people who might feel confrontational and intimidated by that might cause a problem.
Don't
so,
start.
The head
down,
of the NSA
none.
Said that he'd already looked at all their presentations, and he didn't want to go anyway.
So is the NSA had a booth last year?
Yes, and the director of the NSA was a featured speaker at DEF CON last year.
So the question is this: is the booth that's there? Is it a recruiting?
Yeah, they've been recruiting. It's not so much like come and fill out an application, but they go and they watch talks. If you speak, if you do anything like that, you can kind of pop up on the radar. If you win any contests, I mean, it's really just kind of, you know, like a minor league baseball game where you've got talent scouts out there and they're looking to see who stands out.
But then you can go talk to the NSA about, like, you know, I didn't go up to the booth and ask them any questions, but I would imagine you could get a card and you could say, go to this website and this is what you might need to do to fill out to apply for a job.
I thought questions as I walked by just to see how good they were.
I texted some questions.
So
to
would
myself.
You work for the NSA?
Would I work for the NSA? I would probably work for the NSA if I could. You know, why not?
I think I would, and then I would be a whistleblower, or depending on your perspective, a
traitor.
There are cheaper ways to get to Russia, afflicted.
I don't want to be stuck in the airport either.
I would say this, that if you're going to be a whistleblower / traitor, you should be in the country that you think will offer you asylum before you release the information.
You should plan some of that out.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Snowden's just bad planning, you know. But, yeah, I would work for the NSA. In fact, I have a friend of mine whose brother works for the, or may not work there anymore, but did work for the NSA. And I was, you know, he was working for the NSA right out of college, and come to think of it, that's why he got all of my information. But I always thought it was pretty cool. I mean, in my younger days, the whole secrecy thing appealed to me. I liked the whole thing.
But you can't tell anybody, though. That's the thing.
And that was the thing. You know? His brother could not talk about a thing. It's like, well, what do you do? I can't tell you.
I actually might prefer to work for the FBI, though.
X-Files.
What about the Secret Service?
No.
No.
Not necessarily.
I'm not gonna,
they just basically get taught to take a bullet.
Take a bullet, yeah. Can you, NSA seems like they would have the tech to do that.
They also need counterfeit money stuff and other things.
Isn't that Treasury Department?
That's
still the Secret Service still?
I think so.
Yeah.
That just doesn't sound as interesting.
I would have to see their pay grades.
ATF definitely not.
No.
They're not going to get any.
They're no fun at parties.
I'd like to do computer forensics for somebody like that.
Homeland Security.
Yeah.
That mean you have to be any good at it necessarily either.
The problem is that half your time would be spent getting the password back from each of their laptops so they could log in again. The FBI, remember, they've had like 3 different attempts to have like a case management system. This is in the lifetime of this show, and they've spent millions and millions of dollars, maybe hundreds of millions, and they still don't have a system.
And now they're looking at a cloud option.
Well, they're holding out for quantum computing to handle their problems.
They just break down and get a Joomla site.
they're running PHP Nuke.
Wow. There's some old references in there. Kind of self-flagellating.
Hey, you know, that was PHP Nuke was the hot thing there for a few years.
I ran PHP Nuke and then post-Nuke. I ran post-Nuke once. PHP Nuke wasn't all that cool.
How many times did you get hacked?
I never got like hacked. I mean, it was like every time. It's like, again, it's usually one of my friends. You know, it's like guys I knew, but it's like, oh, time to patch it again. And a lot of times it would be stuff that there just weren't patches for.
Yep.
I don't want to be paranoid, but do you guys ever feel like this room is bugged?
Or like somebody's listening? Somebody's listening?
I was talking about the NSA. Yeah, every once in a while I get like the idea like someone's listening in.
No, maybe just one person. Bugged.
Nobody's listening. Phone says hotline.
That's to call Commissioner Gordon. No. Or for Commissioner Gordon to call us. All right, well, we've had enough fun, so let's do something else fun.
No more fun.
Let's do the Technology Bites Info Shot with Peter Hughes from San Antonio.
It's the Technology Bites Info Shot. Technology news and commentary by Peter Hughes. Injected directly into your skull.
Yes, it's the Technology Bites Buzzkill. Does the fun ever start? Noah, got a few different things tonight. On Dell, you know, we don't usually do business stuff, but this one's kind of interesting. They're trying to take Dell private because Dell is trying to rework how they do business in light of the poor future that appears for the PC industry. The thing that's interesting about it is Dell's buyout has been the kind of lead candidate for what to do, but now reports are saying that a lot of the biggest institutional shareholders are expected to vote against the proposed buyout, which is a blow for the people who thought that this group of investors would favor the deal. Vanguard Group, State Street, and BlackRock, which collectively hold nearly an 11.4% stake in it, have signaled they will oppose the deal. That's according to the Wall Street Journal, which at least for when you're talking about stock stuff like that, I give them some credibility. Not climate change or a lot of other stuff, but stock stuff, yes. In other news, an oddly named, there was the T-Mobile thing where you could update your phone every 6 months or something, you know, get a new smartphone. AT&T has decided they're going to go in. They announced a new initiative called AT&T Next, which allows consumers to buy a new smartphone or phone or tablet each and every year with no down payment, no activation fee, no upgrade fee, and no financing fees. It's seen as a response to T-Mobile's recent attacks against the traditional subsidy business model. AT&T Next allows customers to buy a new device and agree to pay monthly installments. After 12 payments, you can trade that device in for a new one, or you can own it outright after making 20 payments. T-Mobile has a plan that allows up to 2 upgrades per year. Their jump offer requires a $10 per month payment just so you can do it, where AT&T doesn't ask for additional payments. So, and drops their usual activation and upgrade fees, which probably means that this is another one of those plans where they make a ton of money And so it doesn't matter if they don't charge you extra. And this one, here's a dragging it up and tacking it onto the modern age. This one's fascinating. If you follow the papal Twitter account, you know, the Pope's, they're offering indulgences to followers. So you technological Catholics, can have, indulgences where they, like, forgive some of your sins, which, just to be technical, it rid time that Catholics believe they will have to spend in purgatory after attendance to the upcoming Rio World Youth Day is normally required for that, but those following the rites and pious exercises of the event through television, radio, and social media will be granted the indulgence. Although, I don't know how this sounds different, because it says getting a coffee from a vending machine, which, following it on Twitter, sounds a lot like that to me, said Arley, head of the Pontifical Council for Social Communication, told the Italian daily Corriere della Sera, the indulgence requires the awardee to have previously confessed and be truly penitent and contrite. Quote, what really counts is that the tweets World Youth Day that go up on Pinterest produce authentic spiritual fruit in the hearts of everyone, said Chelly. So you can tweet your way to salvation. That's amazing. Thought that was kind of interesting. Now some Google news. There's a couple things. One is first I'm going to tell you about a deal that you probably shouldn't take. The Nexus 7 on the Nexus 7. The $250 32 gig Nexus 7, this is, I believe, like Staples, you can get $50 or so, and you can get the 32 gig for like $180, which is a pretty good deal, except there's the executive, and there have been leaks of pictures and video that are allegedly of the next generation Google Nexus 7. So you probably, at the very least, should wait until after the event next week before you decide to pull it sounds like the pricing will be very similar to the existing pricing on Nexus 7s and could get a lot better. So you want to wait and make a good decision if you're in the market for Nexus 7. So just because there are good deals out, I would announce the new one, and I bet you might find some even better deals. Or if you just don't have a budget, then watch the Nexus 7 prices to drop a little more and pick one up for extra cheap. The rumors on the specs, let's see. They say that it's gonna be manufactured by Acer Qualcomm motherboard with a Snapdragon S4 Pro processor, 4 gigs of RAM, and stereo speakers on it. So, that one's coming up. And then this is an interesting one. I was fascinated to see, you know, Google Glass, if you've been following it, there's the thing where you have to activate it. So you have to say, to do voice commands, you have to say something, and the way that you say it trigger the voice command stuff. But there was a use instead. They almost used clap on. I see. They also said that, pew 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 was one, literally. And then, now that was another one. Go go glass for you, Inspector Gadget fans. And so, fortunately, somebody came up with something better than OK Glass. Now, of course, are you going to be in a bar somewhere and somebody's going to say, do you want your beer in a bottle or a glass? And you say, glass, and he goes, OK, glass, and trigger your voice commands. Careful of whenever Google Glass goes mainstream and you've all got it. You'd think maybe they'd just, like, come up with something where you could customize that to be whatever you liked, but anyways, thought that was funny. Now on to iPhone rumors, iPhone stuff. Apparently, iPhone production is supposed to be ramping up. iPhone S or whatever the next gen iPhone thing is should be starting up around now. If there, a report from earlier today suggested that iPhone 5S supplies will be constrained at launch, as happens at many new Apple product releases, perhaps because of low yields on a new fingerprint sensor that's expected to be in the device. There have been some prototypes that have leaked showcasing features like a dual LED flash and a slightly larger battery, as well as an A7 chip, if that matters to anybody. I don't know that those specs, the chip thing, it's kind of like how much faster is it or not. Just anyways, quote, interestingly, MySec says the iPhone production ramp-up will follow one that's already underway for Apple's long-rumored lower-cost iPhone, a device that should be between $300 and $400 apparently without a subsidy. The production plans split pretty much evenly across the 5S and its new lower-cost sibling. And he says the new entry probably won't be competitive with the truly low-end handsets popular in emerging markets. So, it, you know, interestingly enough, last year at roughly the same point in July before the iPhone 5 came out. Then there's some other more sketchy reports that say that the iPhone 5S is the launch that is going to be to increase the size of the display from 4 inches to 4.3 inches. The company, supposedly the release was scheduled for September or October, and the rumor says that it may be later. Claims highly unlikely to be true, as Apple undoubtedly finalized the design months ago. But, you know, it is a rumor out there. A number of reports have indicated the iPhone 5S will look largely identical to the iPhone 5, like the prototypes. Let's see. The exception is a change in the orientation of the flex cable connectors inside that are compatible with the logic board layout from the prototype iPhone 5S. So that's pretty subtle. I don't know that most people are going to notice the difference. And bad news, you know, yippee-ki-yay, Mother Russia, as they say in that movie. All three major Russian carriers have stopped selling the iPhone at their stores, leaving people to buy only from Apple directly or the black or gray market, according to Fortune magazine. The line brand severed its ties with Apple's last week, replacing the iPhone 5 with the Galaxy S4. Onion Apple contracts, unquote, and harsh conditions, especially in the marketing department. Other factors may also be at play. Russia's agent, Russia's Roskomnadzor agency, which I have no idea what that means, doesn't allow phone subsidies, which typically drop the customer cost for devices with the trade-off of locking people in. And so it just the situation is said to be giving an advantage not just to Android devices but also Microsoft's Windows Phone. So Windows Phone grew to 8.2% of the Russian smartphone market, up from 5.1%. in the second quarter of 2012. At the same time, Apple went down from 9% to 8.3%. So they're not so big on the iPhone in Mother Russia, unless you've got the big bucks. And have you worried about what, you know, imagine, you know, when your phone runs out of juice and you wanted a way to recharge it? In England, and I kid you not, a team of researchers from the University of West of England, UK, have developed a new small microbial fuel cell, MFC, which can turn organic matter, in this case, pee, into electricity. So pee on your phone when it runs out of battery. You could do that anyway, but under their technology, it would charge the phone up as opposed to just making it nasty. To do that, the fuel cells are filled with special bacteria which chow down on the chemicals in urine to fuel their own metabolic processes, in turn producing electrons which are stored by the cell and used to provide power. Dr. Ioannis Aeropolis, explained to The Independent, quote, "The beauty of this fuel source is that we are not relying on the erratic nature of the wind or the sun. We are actually reusing waste to create energy. One product that we can be sure of an unending supply is our own urine." I guess that is logical. Amazingly, the cell can create enough power to charge a smartphone, at least a little. One session of charging provides enough power for a phone call. So you got to pee every time. I need 14 Mountain Dews and 10 minutes because I got to make a long distance phone call. So I don't know. Perhaps this is one of those cases where it does take a village, so you can get enough pee to create electricity for you to really charge your phone. But it is a start, and I guess I will say, give it credit for being clever on using a waste resource to create something that's useful. And finally, you know, a lot of the time for new kind of interesting gadgets and stuff, you have to you go on Kickstarter and you get to spend your money, and then you can wait for months and months for the stuff to show up, or have real limited availability. There's a new site, there's a new site called Grand Street, which has been selling, having flash sales of indie gadgets, you know, non-mainstream, non-big manufactured gadgets, to a private email list. And today it opens to the public, which with a selection of 11 products that it's committed to keeping in stock long term. It's things like the Cosmonaut touchscreen stylus, a Bluetooth keychain fob called Hone, the Waka Waka power solar charger and lantern, and the sensor drone dongle full of sensors for Android. All four of these were Kickstarter success stories, and the Hone isn't available elsewhere for online purchase. Grand Street wants to be, according to the headline for All Things D, the SkyMall type shop for indie gadgets. They want to be the go-to source for, quote, creative maker, hackable, small batch, unbucketed tech. So, you know, here's to them, and if you're interested in one of those kinds of products, that might be a place to go. The site, if you want to go look at it, is grandst.com. So Grand Street, and they've abbreviated Street. And that's the news.
All right. Wow, why am I getting connection refused when I'm trying to secure shell or secure FTP to Geek Radio?
Keep talking about the NSA.
Because the connection is being refused.
PHP nuke.
It depends. NSA. Well, I guess I'll say there have been lots of attempts on shell, and if any of them looked suspicious from a IP range that that didn't look like one I expected to get stuff from, then they go on the block list on the firewall. So if you send me your IP address, I can check.
Okay, I gotta go to my IP address. I gotta tracer T this real quick.
or just go to whatismyip.com.
No, I need a tracer T. All right.
You don't have to use all those hacker tools to get your to connect to my server.
By the way, Pete, in your description of the AT&T Next plan, the one thing that you didn't point out is that while T-Mobile reduced the price of its data plan to reflect the fact that they're not subsidizing phones anymore, if you go with your bring-your-own-phone or you pay for the phone at AT&T through the installment plan, the data plans are still the full subsidized price. So it's like a really bad deal.
So that's why they don't have to charge that extra fee later on, because they're making a whole heck of a lot of extra money.
Right. You're essentially paying for the phone twice.
So we're not happy with AT&T right now.
I've been annoyed with all carriers in America for a number of years.
Have the changes at AT&T caused your price to go? Are you AT&T right now, or were?
Well, I was, and I'm in my final day or two until I
would
port
their changes
my number
have
over
affected
to Google Voice.
Your current pricing?
No, my price would have stayed the same.
Okay,
because I haven't been paying for a subsidized phone for the last 4 years, probably. So I've basically been giving them extra money for 4 years, but there was no carrier I could go to where I wouldn't be doing that, except if I went to some of the, like, pay-as-you-go plans, maybe. But I didn't really want that. I wanted a solid, like, large-scale carrier. So T-Mobile was the first one to say, hey, the rest of the world does it this way, and we're going to do it that way. So I'm switching to T-Mobile.
The both AT&T and Verizon and Sprint, when you buy a phone where you get, like, you know, the $199 phone, and after 2 years your contract's up, you keep that phone and you keep paying
the subsidized
voice and
price.
Data plan, it's still the subsidized pricing. That's kind of what I think there's some rebellion about in this case.
Well, but it's always been that way for everybody.
Right. And now they've got this, AT&T is doing this thing where it looks like T-Mobile's plan, but it's really not, because you're ending up paying the subsidized pricing and you're paying for the phone separately. So it's not a good deal.
Yeah, that's called marketing to make it look like we're actually competing with our competitors while we're actually doing anything but.
Right.
So you're mad at the pretense. I mean, they've been doing this they've been doing it all along.
I was mad at all carriers for charging subsidized prices so that whether you were getting a new phone or not, you were always paying that rate.
Right.
So I guess you could have looked at it easy to your, I'm getting a really good deal when I get a phone because I'm paying, basically I'm paying less because I'm getting this phone for free. But right. What's really happening is you're subsidizing the phone price every month. And so if you're not getting a, buying a new phone every 2 years and locking yourself into a 2-year contract, then you're, you know.
You're just throwing
But I didn't want to be stuck in a contract, so I didn't want to get the phone, so but I couldn't get a lower price. So like I said, T-Mobile's the first one to actually do like the rest of the world does and offer.
What are their speeds like, T-Mobile?
I haven't used them that much yet. I mean, they, and I don't have a 4G phone. I don't have an LTE phone yet.
Oh, okay.
Well, you have the 4S, right?
Mm-hmm.
So the 4S,
it'll do HPSA
they have
Plus.
A thing called HSPA Plus, which
right.
AT&T also has, but their HSPA Plus is actually much faster. And so while it's not quite LTE speeds,
it's pretty quick.
It's pretty quick, and you can get up to close to 20, 22 megabits down in some, and, you know, when it's optimum cases. And they are just now rolling out LTE, so they have the 4G and the LTE. They're behind both Verizon and AT&T in terms of coverage area for LTE.
They said something about, somebody was saying something, you know, like at one point a number of months ago, AT&T was going to buy T-Mobile. And then
there
I guess,
was some talk
and
about
then it.
Well, it got rejected by the government.
It got rejected, yeah. But I heard that part of what came out of that was that AT&T gave T-Mobile a bunch of money and T-Mobile has access through carrier agreements now to ride on 2G towers or regular phone towers where they didn't have coverage before in areas that they didn't have coverage before.
It's still the overall best deal if you're wanting to save the most money with an iPhone thing is to have the money to buy the phone outright at the start of your contract and then do either the pay-as-you-go or do the T-Mobile thing is going to give you the best overall deal.
I mean, even T-Mobile looks like it's their monthly plan for a single line is still up there.
Yeah, but my plan was two lines. Okay, on AT&T I had two lines, 650 minutes, shared family plan, unlimited texting, and I had unlimited, grandfathered unlimited data on one line and no data at all on the other, and my phone bill was about $140 a month. Switching to T-Mobile, two lines, unlimited talk and unlimited text, and 2 gigs of data actually 2.5 gigs of data on each line works out to maybe like 115 or something, 115, 120.
Hmm.
So I'm actually spending less money and getting.
Doesn't T-Mobile offer unlimited data still?
They do. It was another $10 for unlimited, and I may flip to that because I'm looking now at using a corporate discount, which I think is 12%. So it's possible I'll save enough money with corporate discount. I may go ahead and bump extra 10 on each one to get unlimited data, but. I've watched my data on AT&T over the last couple years, and I've never gone over 2.5 gig.
Right. All right, 713-526-5738. If you want to be on the air with Technology Bites here in the first hour of our program, that is the number to call, 713-526-KPFT. It looks like we have one call in the queue. All the other lines are open. Groovehouse.
Yes.
Who do we have?
Up first on the show, we're going to speak with Gary.
Gary, hi.
Hi, I have a question about hacking.
Okay, don't do it.
Now, today in the Houston Chronicle, they had a story about how all the major universities, that you know, technical universities like Caltech, Purdue, MIT, are getting hacked, and they're going to have to reevaluate their entire structure because they're intentionally open for interface with other engineering facilities, and then you know that I read that there were 10,000 hacks like a day on the corporations and the government, and it's going nuts. Now, here's my question, and this may sound a little strange, but bear with me. You heard about the situation with the TV station in San Francisco with the crash of the Asiana plane and how they came on and had the wrong names.
Right, that was supposedly provided by the TSA.
Well, and NTSB.
The NTSB.
Okay, and but they fired the intern that confirmed the names, but they've never found the person that gave the names. Now, tonight, and just bear with me, tonight on the television, they were talking about this terrible car crash of some people in Houston up in New York. And they said there was a terrible crash on the thruway on Long Island. And they were going from Syracuse, from Niagara Falls to Syracuse to Boston, which is about 500 miles from Long Island. I thought, now, who the hell would come up with that? Then on the radio tonight, I heard somebody say that there were zero apprehensions on the border because of the surge of Border Patrol. But then they turned around and said, and the measure is now going to the House of Representatives. Well, you can't have the surge until both houses pass the law. Now, that's three strange, totally off-the-wall facts. And I'm wondering, here's my question, is it possible that people are hacking in to media computers so that what they read on the teleprompter is totally goofy, and these, you know, talking heads, they just read what they see? I mean, I know it sounds like a conspiracy theory.
Well, the
I would say never ascribe to hackery what stupidity will explain easily.
But it's just too much of a coincidence.
No, it's not unusual.
No, it's not. I mean, what if they came in and said, oh, well, the president was just abducted by aliens? You could have mass panic.
Well, okay. I don't think that it's hackers hacking the teleprompters. What I think is happening is that they've got interns and they've got news staff that are not capable of getting information, accurate and reliable information, and passing it on to the anchors. That's what I think.
And they're trying to hurry, so when news comes in, they want to be the first to put it out there. And since Twitter is so fast, don't check it.
It wasn't hackers that caused Fox News to declare that we had successfully killed Obama. When that happened, that was right.
But seriously, if you think about it, if you were from New York or knew anything about it, you would never associate Long Island with Boston and the Niagara Falls. But if you weren't from New York, all right, then you wouldn't even think of Long Island. It'd be like saying there was a major crash.
Was it a local newscast that reported it?
It was.
So they're the local newscast who has no real familiarity with the geography in question.
That's the point.
Would take that information and
why would they just throw in a part? It's like saying there was a major car wreck on the freeway in Kansas, just east of Miami.
Let me ask you this. Why would hackers want to spread that kind of information?
Because they want to go into the power grid, and they want to go into all these.
No, but why would they want?
I'm trying to tell you, because if they want to.
No, not why they want to hack the news
because
altogether.
There's nothing more important.
No, listen to me. Listen,
the media.
Listen to me before I hang up on you. What I'm asking you, is why would the hackers want to spread misinformation about an auto accident in New York?
Because they are testing the system, and when they get a handle on it, they can spread misinformation that could cause mass.
So they're going to reveal themselves with a ridiculous story. Why wouldn't the hackers? And I know some dumb hackers, but I also know a lot of smart hackers. Why wouldn't the hackers put a plausible? I mean, maybe they're Nigerian hackers. I don't know. When you get those scam emails that you can tell are fake by the way they're worded, a skilled hacker would put together something that would escape scrutiny of one.
There have been some nice defacements that sort of flew under the radar for a while that looked like legit websites.
Yeah. So one of the things that now, I think that you're just kind of seeing patterns that aren't there, but I will say this.
Let me finish.
So there is there had been a series of hacks on Twitter accounts operated by media companies. One of them involved the Associated Press, and in this case, it's just a matter of them using weak passwords and being able to get into the main accounts this way. And one of them involved the Associated Press reporting that a bomb had exploded at the White House and that Obama had been wounded. And, you know, I worked for the Chronicle and I was in a budget meeting for the website when this happened. And somebody came running in and told us that this had occurred. And so we broke up the meeting and ran to our desks and began to get ready to
report
on the story. And almost immediately, the AP regained control of its Twitter account and also pushed out through its normal channels to media that their account had been hacked and that this was not real.
Well, didn't that story just confirm my suspicions?
No, what I think the point he's making, and Dwight can chime in, is that the news station would know if they got hacked and would quickly work to remedy that, to say, look, if the news agency put out false information that was provided to them by a hacker, then they would catch the hack and they'd come back and they would say, you know, that last bit of information was a result of a security breach or something.
Right. You would have heard about it.
Well, now, wait a minute.
Wait.
They don't admit these.
That's not true.
Journalists, some do and some don't.
Journalists are obsessive about getting things right. We navel gaze about that all the time. We harangue each other to make sure everything is right. And when something isn't, we say it as fast as we can because our reputations are at stake.
Okay, and in the Chronicle also this week was a story about how thousands of personal ID from employees of the Harris County were discovered, and they didn't announce it for 2 weeks, and they said that was because they were cooperating with the FBI.
That wasn't the media. That was Harris County.
Well,
that was Harris County.
That's a little naive. You think these people are doing this and they're going to come on and say, oh, our system is so decrepit that somebody in China just told us that Long Island is between Boston and Niagara Falls.
No, when they get something wrong, they correct it. You're seeing things
way too low.
You're seeing things that aren't there, and probably ought to take off the tinfoil hat.
All right, you know you're going to find out if
I'm
right. All
right, bye bye. the real conspiracy was how you got on this show, because that's the kind of misinformation.
I think hackers put him through a manual switched network and connected him to the station.
Okay, I will.
And then Groovehouse must be in on it,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, he's the inside man. Now, I will concede that the point is well made that misinformation, you know, control of the media, the ability to inject, misinformation through major media sources is a valid hack. I mean, it would be something.
It would be one of the first things. Yeah, real cyber war, that would be one of the first things they would try and take down.
But it happens all the time. That's pretty much what three-fourths of the news is.
There have been cases where there have been false press releases released and media companies reported them. But when it does, they go back and correct it as fast as they can.
So do you think that chain letter that your aunt sent you or your grandmother sent you about if you don't forward this email, was that put to her by hackers?
See, absolutely. I'm saying that it's not even necessarily, the misinformation isn't even necessarily like hacker misinformation. It's intentional misinformation perpetuated by
people who don't know any better.
No, by people who want to present the news in a certain way. I mean, it's a sea of misinformation anyway.
The news is already being hacked by the Hearst.
All the time.
Well, one thing.
There's no more room.
You know, another way to look at it, think about something about plausibility. Okay, so you're a hacker who's got this kind of skill and you're trying to develop it. Are you going to put obvious screwed up things in the news, or are you going to do something like change the number of casualties that is in a particular event? Because then you know that if they say, you know, if it was supposed to be 27 and you get them to say 33,
you know you succeeded.
That it succeeded and you haven't tipped anybody off. They'll just go, oh, well, it must have been a mix-up, you know, and they'll blow it off. But when you, like, totally screw up the story, that's tipping your hand. And if you're a good enough programmer to figure out these ins and outs to build this big conspiracy, you're not going to be,
Of course, with a geographical mistake, like the caller pointed out, that obviously means it was the Chinese, because they have no real understanding of the topography of the United States.
See, I think one thing, to me, this is interesting, is, and this affects, to me, this affects our whole culture now, is that the internet and mass media have created the ability to for people to see so much information coming from so many places that they can filter for anomalies or anything they want. People
you
filter.
Can find all the outliers you want to back up whatever conclusion you want to draw.
Previously, you know, you watched ABC, CBS, NBC, and Fox. That's all you got, right? So it was hard to find, you know, things you could say like, this is more than just a coincidence. All four of these or three out of the four of these did this or whatever. That wasn't easy. But when you have 400,000 news sources, it's pretty easy to find 5, 6, 12, 50 weird anomalies that are happening and build something out of it.
Yeah, look at any major event recently. The initial kind of fragmented reporting when they're just, oh, this just in, we heard this, we heard that, and they say it. And then 6 months later, somebody goes back and looks at it and creates this pattern that doesn't exist, that's been superseded by truths
that
we know.
The Boston stuff, 9/11, all that. I mean, it's now you're getting information as it's coming, and people are sometimes guessing, they're hearing misinformation.
Well, if hackers actually had control of the network, I think they would have come back in and fixed Lost. They would have literally <that. laughs> That's how I know.
Wow. Actually, my argument that hackers are doing this is they must have written the Lone Ranger and put it out.
Well, I mean, like I said, I don't want to necessarily dismiss the idea of cyber warfare because that is a real thing. So there are groups and individuals that are targeting businesses, business networks, media networks, all of that's happening.
More and more frequently. The tools are getting easier to use.
But right, you know. Esau was not an example.
Right.
Right.
That was just stupidity.
The real example was when AP got hacked.
Right.
AP got hacked, a very reputable news source. So when AP tweeted that there was a bomb went off at the White House, that was instantly believable by a lot of people.
But again, we say hacked. It was password. Someone got the password that had been reused somewhere else to a Twitter account. It's not really like what most people would consider a hack. It's
There were people playing the stock market for that. The stock market was affected, and there were people who made money off of that, as I recall reading.
Yeah, well, there was a dip. There was a significant dip in the stock market for about 2 minutes.
You knew when that tweet was coming out, you legitimately, it's not an extreme conspiracy idea, you would know to be able to make money in
if
that.
If you're a micro trader, you definitely could have made a whole lot of money.
What's interesting is in hindsight, when people looked at what happened, particularly copy editors, they said, oh, that tweet wasn't in AP stock. That's true.
Well, all right. So we got time for another call. Crew House?
We'll cut it close, but we'll try.
All right.
All right, up next, we're going to speak with Sophia.
Sophia, you're on the air with Technology Bytes.
Hi, yes. I have Windows XP, and I'd like to know how to restore my taskbar. My child took it, and it's covering half of my screen entirely, and I can't drag it back down there. So.
Okay, you can grab the edge of the taskbar. If you move the mouse to the top edge of the taskbar, it should turn into two arrows.
Yeah.
And then you click the left mouse button and
hold
you can just pull it and hold it and pull the taskbar back down.
Okay. I've got the two arrows.
So click the left mouse button. That kind of locks onto it.
Click and hold it, yeah.
Click and hold it down.
It won't go. I can make it smaller, but I can't bring it any further than halfway in the screen.
Really?
Yeah.
So you can get it halfway.
Is everything really large? Did they change the monitor resolution maybe?
Or the text size or something?
No, nothing is different, but it spans from the top of the screen to the bottom of the screen and all the way on the right side of the screen.
Is the taskbar off to one side? Is it going up and
it's
down?
It's off to the right.
Okay.
Move it down first, yeah.
Okay. You have to grab an edge of it and then pivot it down.
Like pull it down where you want it to.
Like if you were taking something that's vertical and moving it, you know, leaning it down on its side.
Right, but like my arrow, when I send it to the top of the screen, I can't get the double arrow.
Not at the top of the screen, on the side. Grab it on the side where you get the
anywhere on the down. Okay, is the taskbar look like it's running across the bottom the full length of the screen, or does it look like it's going up and down the full length of the screen? I mean,
it's kind of up and down. It comes from the side of the screen, so you pull it out from the side.
So you can grab
Do the arrow thing. Don't get the double arrows when you do this.
Don't get the double arrows. Just click on a blank spot at the top of the gray taskbar and hold the mouse and then flip it down. Just pull it like at an angle down.
Just as though you were physically grabbing it.
Like you're opening an oven door. Like, you know, you're pulling it from the top and you're
something happened. It went to the top instead of the bottom.
Okay. Well, you're getting close.
Now turn your monitor upside down.
Very funny. Read upside down.
Now, you should be able to take it and move it off to one side again.
Uh-huh.
And then pull it back down to the bottom.
Okay. Now pull it down to the bottom. Aha! Got it!
Yay!
Yay! Success. Thank you!
All right. Yeah, you can actually resize and reposition the taskbar depending on how you grab it with your mouse.
Kids are
great about finding out how to do that, but mm-hmm. not knowing how to go back.
If you right-click on the taskbar and then go to Properties or Options, there's a little checkbox that says Lock the Taskbar, and you can actually lock it in place where it can't get...
Yeah,
it won't get moved around anymore accidentally.
Okay, I'm going to do that. Thank you.
All right, well, thanks for your call.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Hooray, success!
Woohoo.
What was her name?
I was afraid hackers had gotten her taskbar.
Sophia.
Sophia.
Sophia don't like it.
Lock the taskbar. Lock the taskbar.
Just come and rest in peace.
Well, all right. So we got about... It's like the Mr. Rogers theme song when I hear that come on. So that music tells us we have, what, a minute and a half?
Time to put on our inside shoes and change our sweaters.
Guys, you see that Fox report that was blaming everything bad on Mr. Rogers, you know?
No, heresy, no.
Oh, you have to go find that article. Mm. All right. Yeah. Well,
hackers must have done that.
Hackers.
Hacks must have done that.
They stole the ER? All right, so we're gonna get ready to get out of here and take a short break. It's a very short. Do you have a bear time tonight?
No, wow. I'm out of work time tonight. I'm sorry, guys.
No, it's all right. We understand.
Having to work.
Hackers took it.
Hackers took it. No, I had it. My computer's been hacked. What? That's the new My Dog Ate My Homework.
You can read what's on your screen. Maybe hackers.
Account name. Payment received. November 22. I'm doing commission reporting still.
Oh, well. I mean, you know, I love a good conspiracy, but that was not a good conspiracy.
No, not even.
All right. Well, we're going to get out of here for just a couple of minutes, do some station business, and we'll be right back after this. You're listening to Technology Bites. I'm Jay Lee.
I'm Peter Hughes.
I'm Flicted.
I'm Barrett.
I'm Dwight.
And he's
Groovehouse.
Were you one of the many listeners who pledged to receive integrated quantum meditation with George Quant? KPFT is seeking testimonials of your experience with integrated quantum meditation to be shared on air with George Quant when he visits again later this year. If you're interested in sharing your thoughts, call our program director at 713-526-4000, extension 308. We'll arrange a time for you to visit KPFT and record what you have to convey. Again, if you've pledged for integrated quantum meditation during our spring fun drive and wish to share with other listeners a testimonial about what you've gotten out of the practice, call the program director, 713-526-4000, extension 308. You are listening to KPFT Houston.
We had no quarrel with anyone. We only want to stop riding the buses until we are treated as any other passenger.
Tune in on Wednesdays at 6 p.m. for the best of our past, present, and future from the vault. From the Vault is a weekly hour from the Pacifica Radio Archives, a national treasure of interviews, performances, and important moments. In this weekly documentary series, From the Vault presents archival audio to bring history to life.
It sounds like Harvey Milk is trying to send a message out to other gay or non-gay people who want to run for public office.
Get involved. Build your base, build your support. You can't just get out there and say, hey, I'm a nice guy and I'm going to vote right on all the issues.
From the Vault airs Wednesday at 6 p.m. You can hear a repeat overnight Saturday following the program after hours. This is 90.1 Pacifica Radio, KPFT Houston.
All right, we're back. No Barrett time. That makes me sad, but I understand. You're working hard. You got a lot on your plate.
getting out of town for DEF CON.
Yeah, I got to get everything ready to go to Las Vegas, the biggest geek gathering in the world. I'm getting excited. Griffhouse, wish you were coming.
Me too.
Yeah.
Next year.
Get lots of money saved up for next year.
Okay, you got it.
All right.
Working on it right now.
All right, well, we got another hour's worth of Technology Bites to go here, and we're willing to talk to you about just about anything, so, you know, just take off the tinfoil hat before you call. We'd appreciate that. 713-526-5738, 713-526-KPFT. Groovehouse?
Yes.
Who's up?
All right, up next on the second half of the show, we're going to speak with Matthew.
Matthew, you're on the air with Technology Bites.
Hi, guys.
Hi.
Hey, listen, my son purchased that new iPhone 5S about a month ago, and he also put a debit card on the account that he could make, purchase on his iTunes. Well, yesterday, he was trying to make a purchase, and it denied it, and about a few minutes later, his bank called him that somebody had tried to make a purchase for $180-something with that debit card, and the only place he ever has used it is on the iPhone at the iTunes store.
It's possible if he was the purchase tried. Did someone try to make the purchase on iTunes, or was it made somewhere else?
No, they tried to make the purchase somewhere else.
Well, let me ask you this. When he set up his iTunes account, I'm assuming he set that up on a computer, right?
I don't know, but he's had that. He's had an iPhone for years now, and he keeps upgrading every time they come out with something. He's a real iPhone junkie, really.
Well, what I'm wondering is if he manages his iTunes account from a computer and he put that debit card in from the web page into iTunes to be able to do that, then he might have a hack or have something going on the computer itself.
Okay. So in other words, the iPhone itself is hack-proof.
No, I didn't say that. But it's less likely that the iPhone was hacked and more likely that his computer has some malware or spyware on it.
Oh, okay.
I've not heard of people getting their credit card information stolen off their iPhone.
Yeah, when you actually buy an app from the App Store, Apple actually charges your credit card. It doesn't get passed on to the vendors. I mean, is that correct?
That is correct.
You not having one, I mean, it shows up like Apple just charges you. So
I'm not sure how Apple pays off the people, but yeah.
I doubt they're passing the credit card number around, though. So it's
No, you're paying Apple. The bill comes from Apple, as far as I know. Dwight, what do you know?
Yeah.
Yes, it does come from Apple.
I know that for a fact, too.
I mean, if he's had the card for a while, it probably got out some other way, or maybe he made a web purchase that wasn't Apple-related, but that would be what I would think happened over, you know, it somehow finding its way out of the iTunes store.
And yeah, I know that in the...
He's had that
look,
closest to three, since iPhone
3,
so...
Okay.
When you look in the settings in the account, it doesn't show your full credit card number. And there's information that's blanked out. It just, I think, shows the last four digits. So even if somebody had hacked into his computer and had gotten into the account, they wouldn't necessarily be able to see
the
credit card number. So it's likely he has used it somewhere else and didn't really realize that he had.
So in other words, some kind of tracking device inside the PC is what got his.
It's if he went to, like I said, if he went to a web page and entered in his credit card number and the computer was infected with a certain kind of spyware, it could have intercepted the credit card input. He could have a keylogger on there.
He
might have been phished from another site. It's hard to say, but if I open up Internet Explorer or whatever my browser is, and I type in an address, I'm assuming I'm going to the address that I think I'm going to, but there is a kind of virus spyware out there.
That explains why when he tried to go to the Apple Store, his request was denied. Is that correct?
It could. It's hard to say. The first, like I said, okay, I'm going to simplify this as much as I can.
Okay.
If you're telling me that the only company that he's ever given his credit card number to of this credit card, if the only company he's ever given it to is Apple. He's never used it at the Payless store. He's never used it at the Stop and Go. If that's the only place he's given that credit card to, then the question becomes, how did he give them the credit card information? Now, if I was going to update my iTunes account, I would go to my iTunes account. You could go through a web browser, and I could update my account, and I can say, here's my credit card number. As long as I'm really at the iTunes store when I do that, then Apple is the one that gets my credit card. But if my computer is hacked, has spyware, or I'm not really on the Apple page, I could be giving my credit card number to who knows who. So if there's a hack, if everything you tell me is true, then there may very well be a hack in place, but it's probably not on the phone. It's probably on his computer. So I would scan the computer for possible spyware and start tracking down that as a possible avenue of where the hack is.
But look, I have an Apple account too. I have an iTunes account. When you log in to purchase something, your credit card information is already with them and all that.
Yeah, but how did they get that credit card information? You had to sign into your account and provide it to them.
So when I did mine, I did it at the iPhone store at the time I bought the phone, and I had to put in the credit card information, my email address, and a password. And since then, all I need to do is if I want to purchase something, I pick the purchase and they'll ask me for my password.
Right. Now, did he do the same thing?
Yeah, but it's the same thing if I bought it off my PC.
No, you're not listening to me.
Uh-huh.
I got that that's how you did it.
Yeah.
Your son
has
a debit card that you say only used with Apple. Did he go to the Apple store and input it into his account at that time?
No. Here's what I got from him. You know,
maybe we should talk to him. Maybe if you could get him on the phone, we'll get a little bit further along. And I'd like to help you, but I can't. I can't. I'm struggling too much here. There are some very specific points, very specific pieces of information that I would need to be able to tell you a plausible reason why this has happened.
My suspicion is it is spyware, but if he's getting redirects where he can't go there,
right.
And it's very likely he got phished, because there are Apple phishing attempts out there where you get an email, it looks like it's from Apple, they want you to go to a site,
update your credit card. We don't know that that your son's given us all the right information, but if you want, we can interrogate him. You can have him call us up.
Can we talk about like the deep details of DNS?
The terrible secrets of space. But my phone was hacked by the devil. I was checking my iPhone.
Ooh, this is a good one, but I think Cynthia did it.
I don't think so, because Cynthia does not know the passcode for my phone, nor would she even know how to
know the password for your Foursquare account.
She doesn't. Dun, dun, dun. I can guarantee that it wasn't her. Famous last words, I know. But all right, so I went on my iPhone. Now, anybody who uses a smartphone or a tablet, it might be aware of a social media application called Foursquare. Now, for those of you that don't know, Foursquare is an app that allows you that basically takes your GPS information, guesses where you are, allows you to check into different venues. So you can kind of have a record of, I visited Starbucks or I stayed at this hotel or whatever. So, you know, when you pull up the app, you see a map with nearby locations that you can select and so forth. Now, one of the lesser features of the app is there's a thing called a to-do list, which is where if you're looking at a place, if you see a place that you might want to visit or, you know, frequent or do something with, you can bookmark it, basically.
Store it.
You can store it. So you touch it, you say, you know, you favorite it or something. Mm-hmm. So I have never in my life favorited anything on Foursquare. I mean, I check in a lot. I use the app a lot, but I've never like, oh, well, that's a place I want to come back to later. Favorite that.
Or put it on my to-do list.
Put it on my to-do list. So I was looking at, if you flip over to the section that has the different areas of the Foursquare app, you have home, profile, and history, which tells you, you know, a little bit about yourself and the places that you've been and what badges you've got, what mayorships you hold, and so forth. The third one is a to-do list. And the to-do list has a little box next to it with a number, which in mine is now zero. And I would imagine most people, if you looked at your Foursquare app, if you use it, your to-do list is zero. Well, my to-do list had a number one in it. And I was like, what is this? So I touched it, and I went over to my to-do list, and the thing that I had on my to-do list was a funeral home in Bryan, Texas.
Oh, that was Cleveland.
Cleveland, Texas. You're right. Cleveland, Texas.
The Chinese don't know their geography.
So I had on my Foursquare to-do list to either go to or be buried in this funeral home in a city I have not even been to since I've owned a smartphone. I have not been to or through Cleveland, Texas in better than 5 or 6 years, probably more like 10 years. I haven't driven to Austin or gone out west on I-10 or anything. But for some reason, that was on my to-do list. So I wonder if, I don't know, maybe that funeral home is paying Foursquare to...
to freak people out.
Sounds like he'll eventually be back.
It could be some kind of Foursquare spam. But it just seems odd.
Did you ever set your phone down in the presence of other people to where someone in the know just could have, you know, grabbed it, click, that's, you know. Yeah.
Well, first of all, let me tell you this.
You've been jacked.
No, I have a lock screen and I will... here's what happened. When I saw that it was favorited, I unfavorited it. And I wanted to say, you know what? I really should get a screenshot of that. So let me try to re-favorite it. And it was hard to find that place or any place outside of a 30-mile radius. This is beyond 30 miles. I couldn't get it to call up. I typed in the name of the place, and I couldn't get it to come back. I finally did find it. I had to, I had to get the address.
Just to help you a little bit, Cleveland is actually, northeast of Houston. It's up past Kingwood, Caney.
Yes. 59, right?
Up towards Lufkin on 59.
Oh, yeah. I'm thinking of Columbus and that way. Okay, so Cleveland is even more so. I haven't been there because I've never been through that area. So
it's a very nice area.
Probably a great place to be buried.
How's your health, Jay?
Well, you know, a little tightness in my chest.
My response to him was that, you know, lately he's been talking a whole lot about, he's been, you know, geekifying Cynthia.
Yeah.
So I'm thinking, you know, maybe she...
maybe she decided to do a little hacking. Little Chinese media hacking. She hacked the media.
The student has become the master.
No, I mean...
She's gone to the dark.
She does give into some pretty awesome practical jokes.
It would be a great practical joke. It is of Cynthia caliber, but...
Would it be that difficult for her to shoulder surf your password, your lock screen code?
Trust me, she cannot even sign into Netflix on her own.
Maybe she's just playing.
Yeah, that's fine.
I wish that were true. I could call her out. No.
Cynthia is anonymous.
That would be funny if I came home and she was asleep in bed and had the anonymous mask on. That would be a great joke for her to play. No, she hasn't. She's level one. She just rolled her nerd character. She hasn't really gotten any. She's getting a little nerd experience, but she's level one at best. She's still gaining experience points.
She's still at plus one charisma.
She's just fighting kobolds at this point.
Yeah. Kobolds and knockers.
The darkness.
Yeah.
she can find magic missile.
However, I do realize that going to level two, and after we get some, you know, the basic movie coverage, or we got Star Wars, we've watched The Hobbit, we're going to watch Lord of the Rings for the next couple of weeks. So I think my opinion is Lord of the Rings and Star Wars are your two foundation science fiction and fantasy fiction, you know, cornerstones. So she needs to know those stories. Even if she doesn't read the book, she needs to at least know the story of the ring.
She needs to go further back in time.
No, you should memorize the Silmarillion.
No, I don't think you have to go back further in time. I think if you're going for blanket coverage of the most nerd references, like if you go to a Comic-Con or you go to any kind of geek convention, you're going to see a lot of fantasy and science fiction, but primarily you're going to see Star Wars and Lord of the Rings.
Monty Python.
Star Trek.
She's got Star Trek. I've got her to see a few movies there. But I think that on the fantasy side, Lord of the Rings, that story, you have to know that story. That gives you your elves, your trolls, your goblins, wizards, orcs, everything.
She's seen Tribbles?
They're trouble.
That's going to be a good, that would actually be a good episode to show her.
She would like the trouble with Tribbles.
Yeah. I should probably
see the one with Kirk making a gun, rudimentary gun, from random things scattered on the ground to defeat an enemy.
Yeah, I need to actually probably take her back to some. We've watched the first few episodes of Lost in Space, the two original pilots, the serious one and the not so serious one. Maybe I should show her Land of the Lost. Slee Stacks are good. But anyway, so
did
no.
Sleep through the 70s or what? Sleeping on Saturdays, I guess?
Pop culture from 1969 all the way up to the present, she missed.
Are you going to show her any anime ever? Cowboy Bebop is kind of cool.
Ghost in the Shell is good because it's kind of accessible. She's not there yet.
I'm trying to take 30 years of geek nerd culture and compress it into the most bang for your buck.
Lock her in a room, toothpick her eyes open, and just go Clockwork Orange. Put it on YouTube, click repeat, and come back 2 days later.
If you think about it, all of us...
Get her eyes open with the...
Yeah.
The clips.
All of us, when we were indoctrinated into the Star Wars mythology, we had that was a long 10-year period. You know, that was.
Well, and we were also.
And young.
Kids. Well, some of us were younger than others.
Right. But we were young, impressionable. That stuff hadn't. Prior to that, you hadn't seen effects like that. You hadn't seen cinematography like that. So that was a unique and you cannot recreate that experience for someone. So Cynthia has the benefit of being able to watch the Star Wars movies one after the other. So in 2 weeks, 3 weeks, we're through all the Star Wars. All six Star Wars movies, we're done. She's got the whole storyline. She's not willing to read The Hobbit, so I'm showing her the movie. She gets the story. She knows what a hobbit is. She knows what a wizard is.
She's still one up on me because I still haven't seen The Hobbit.
There you go.
Although I did read it when I was in like sixth grade.
She said if she was 13, she could probably.
Hobbit's a kid's book. Honestly, the Lord of the Rings is a little bit more adult.
Yeah.
So if she wanted to take another stab at reading something.
Have you shown her the Ralph Bakshi? Wasn't that the. Did he do the first half of the Lord of the Rings?
He did the first half of the Lord of the Rings, and that was, you know, that was one of the best movies I'd ever seen. That was great. Of course, it was a time frame, too, right. For that.
Well, and what about Battlestar?
That's a television series, and I'm not sure I want to get looped into a television series. That takes a while to... That story stretched out. You have to be a fan of the genre to really appreciate that series.
I think she needs to watch at least one or two Doctor Who episodes, like one of the really old ones, like the 60s
Tom
version.
Baker.
And then
Doctor Who is something that I can't.
Well, I hated Doctor Who when I was a kid because it would be, you know, the only thing you could get were rabbit ears, and it'd be Sunday, and it'd be like, what's this? You know, so I'd suffer through. But now they're campy, and you can get almost all of them for free. And actually, the reboot, the BBC series, is actually pretty good.
No, I understand.
It's pretty cool.
I'd be interested in getting caught up on that myself because I have not been keeping up with Doctor Who at all. And I watched it in the 70s, but I have not watched any of the modern stuff. But TV series is not the way to go right now. What I'm thinking is...
You want something self-contained in a few hours.
Yeah, so I need movies. So I know Lord of the Rings is a way to go. And also Indiana Jones movies will be good.
If you do Battlestar, what you should do is probably find a couple of episodes of the original and show her just those first, and then show her the 2-hour starter pilot and see if she wants to continue, because it will hook you. But you need to kind of see, understand what the original looked like, and then see.
See, again, and that's the struggle that I have, because even trying to show her the Star Wars movies, because unless you were a fan of the show, the impact of the movies is at least by half or less for people who are not familiar with the TV series. If you didn't grow up like with those characters, I remember
Star Trek.
Yeah, I'm sorry. When I first saw the first Star Trek movie, just seeing it on the big screen was amazing.
Even though it wasn't very good.
The first one
was not very good.
I was kind of young when it came out, and I watched it, and I had no clue what had happened at the end of the... I didn't understand it at all. Yeah, I did not get it at all.
But did you watch the series, the original series, before that?
I'd seen some.
Seen every Star Wars episode.
Star Trek episode.
Sorry, I'm being... I'd seen every Star Trek episode ever multiple times. Because growing up, that was the thing, and that's what I saw. So, and I loved it, and it had a fond place in my heart. So the idea of a motion picture was thrilling. It was very exciting. And seeing the Enterprise up on the big screen, regardless, I think that first Star Trek movie was more Gene Roddenberry than any of the other films ever. I think that story was perfect.
What? Wrath of Khan?
Wrath of Khan is the best.
Wrath of Khan was great. Yeah. But I think that first one was that whole dilemma, moral dilemma, taking and extrapolating from a decision made by man and how that's, you know, stretched into the future. I think that whole story was great.
Kirstie Alley's a Vulcan. No. Okay. Just me.
Formative years.
Yeah. I guess
so. I'm more of a Jane Fonda era guy myself. So, I'm looking for stuff that, you know, things like Star Trek, you have to have a foundation in the series, I think, to enjoy that. Battlestar Galactica, I got hooked on that because I was a fan of the original show and I was interested to see how they were going to update that, and I was very pleased with the way that happened.
Well, the nice thing about the new Battlestar is that it works on many levels. It's actually like, at least the earlier episodes, later on they didn't get so much into this, but it's like, it's also about being in the military. It's about politics. It's about sex.
Dwight's not going to let Battlestar go.
Now, let me tell you where the success has been. First of all, Star Wars. Because
Muppets.
Because Muppets. And because even if you deliberately turned a blind eye to the Star Wars universe, you got hit with it from your pop culture everywhere. She enjoys the Big Bang Theory television show, which is...
Yeah, unfortunately... The Big Bang Theory, you're going to lose 20% of the humor sometimes, because if you don't have geek culture references, because it's not just pop culture, it's deeper than that.
I know, but if you watch that show, the ones that are, you know, that if you're going to watch anything to try to help you enjoy, that's kind of what I'm using as my barometer. So the Big Bang Theory she likes, and she actually knew the Star Trek,
there's definitely Star Wars, Star Trek references.
There's Star
in
Trek,
there too.
And she gets that. To
Star
the
Wars, and
Star
there's
Wars,
comic
tons
book
of
references.
That. The comic book portion is a whole other thing. Now, I took her to EPO, which I thought was big.
That was going to be my next suggestion, actually, is instead of like letting her absorb all this stuff, is maybe find something that she likes to do anyway, like make shirts, and get her like some conductive thread and some little bitty lights, some little bitty thing that she can sew in, and maybe start geeking out that way.
What is my computer doing? Why do I have...
Are you saying she should make the Blinken shirt?
It does that after you haven't touched it for a while.
I've never seen an Apple logo on it. What's that again, Pete?
Barrett is trying to get her to make the Blinken shirt?
Yeah.
Yeah, that'd be awesome, I think. She's got the skills for it.
Well, she has made a Cthulhu sampler, which I think is huge. That thing went viral. She's going to make a Cthulhu quilt. That's coming. Quilt Cthulhu. So... I don't know. The thing that she really, really liked, though, was Galaxy Quest. She enjoyed that movie thoroughly. She just, it was funny. It was, and she got that they were making fun of fandom and they were making fun of Star Trek.
That was a good movie.
Ooh,
that was a good movie.
What's the name of the movie?
Troopers?
That's been suggested a number of times.
Now that she's seen Star Wars, and now that she kind of gets the fandom, so that she can sink all the way down to the bottom of the fandom, there is a movie, and I forget the name of it. It's three or four guys, and one of the guys gets cancer, and they decide to take him to Luke Skywalker's ranch to watch Episode 1, to break and steal Episode 1. And I think it ends with, like, man, I really hope it doesn't suck, you know, the end of the movie. But I would have her watch that. Have you, no one has seen this movie?
Which one are you talking about?
It's a great movie. I'll see if I can find it. It was about 2 years old.
Weekend at
the guys yeah. going on
yeah,
a road
Yeah, it's three
trip
guys in a van.
Oh, and they, yeah.
They go try to go out, break into Skywalker Ranch.
Yeah, I watched that.
That's, I would say, if you haven't actually seen, like, if she hasn't gone to a convention and seen how rabid fans can be, that's a pretty good one to show her, just so she can see what those people are like in the wild. Because that hit a lot of references pretty close.
Need to show her.
There was one about people standing in line.
This was an actual movie. This wasn't the documentary, which is also pretty good. This was a real movie.
Watch the next Star Wars film, Phantom Menace, I think.
The one with the Triumph the Insult comic dog.
That's the one I'm thinking.
That one's funny, too.
I showed her Chad Vader.
So Chad Vader's funny.
That was good.
Are you showing her the Vader Chronicles with James Earl Jones?
No.
Oh, those are good.
The Hardware Wars. That really stands up. Stands the test of time. But anything now, I've taken her to EPO. I need to take her to a comic book store. Which of the comic book stores anymore is still any good?
What kind of experience do you want?
Yeah.
Huh?
What kind of experience?
I want it to be just like the Big Bang Theory.
So this is the thing. Well, all of them are going to give you some of that. Bedrock's going to have that look and feel more. But if you want to go with, like, Simpsons comic book guy, go to Nan's.
Yeah,
Nan's.
I agree. I actually live next door to the Simpsons comic book guy. He's awesome.
And he drives the Santa Claus art car.
Oh, that guy. I know that guy.
But yeah, but when you go in, you know, he's sitting there, and there's these little acolytes around him, and he's pontificating. And, you know, somebody comes in and is like, yeah, I wanted to see about selling that comic. And he's like, why would you want to sell that comic? And he's like, well, because, you know, it's worth some money. He's like, I've got 100 of those already. How much do you want for it? And, you know, and the guy's like, oh, you know, I saw it selling for like $50. I'll give you $5. It's not worth any more than that. People are buying it for like $50. He's like, I've already got a bunch of those. Look, how much did you pay for it? Well, I bought it new, so it was like $250. He's like, well, go home and enjoy your comic, because that's what it's worth. I mean, seriously, if you just sit around a while, just kind of listen,
yeah,
you'll get the whole
Nan's
Simpsons.
And the Nan's, yeah. Is that the one over at 59?
Yeah.
And also Third Planet is good, because they have a ton of stuff in there. It's just chock full
of
stuff.
I think a comic book store is next up, and I think getting her to probably bring her to the con next year, to the Comic-Palooza.
If you want to do a kind of oblique comic store geek thing, you might look at, like the movie Clerks and Jay and Silent Bob Strike Back.
How does she feel about like really, really perverse language and sexual
dialogue,
content?
Yeah.
No, I don't think
because that's Clerks.
Fanboys is the name of the movie, and it even has a cameo by William Shatner.
Well, she keeps going down the Cthulhu thing. I think Hente's on our...
Y'all keep that at home.
Tentacle porn. All right. So
I can actually give you some documentaries about that I watched actually in the last few weeks.
Okay.
Here, just take this thumb drive.
About that, about the whole subculture in Japan of like manga and I forgot the term for them, but it's like basically like guys that don't work and they just have huge collections of like anime porn and like
otaku.
Now I did.
There's some documentaries that are pretty. Yeah.
We need to go back to the phones because we waste a lot of time on this. But one last thing is that there was a moment when we were watching the new Star Wars movies that we were thinking about, like, you know, Cynthia's past the golden bikini time of her life, so she can't cosplay Princess Leia. But when she saw the librarian, the Jedi librarian, in the second new movie, I think it was, or second or third new movie, there's the woman, if you Google it, she's a kind of a, you know, an older woman with gray hair and has this great, very modest dress. But if you Google, yeah, there she is. What's her name?
Jocasta Nu.
Jocasta Nu. So if she was to dress as Jocasta Nu at a con, she just, no, awesome. nobody will recognize. You'll be amazed how many people come up and recognize you because she could make that outfit and she could pull that
pretty
look
simple,
off.
Yeah.
All right, Groove House.
Yes.
We've wasted a lot of time. Who's our? We have phone calls.
Yeah, I think we do.
Is this a call-in show or something?
This is a call-in show, and we got room for more.
All right, 713-526-5738 if you want to be on the air. We have open lines. We have two people in the queue. Who's up next?
All right, up next on the show, we are going to speak with Neil.
Neil, you're on the air with Technology Bites.
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call. Just a quick question here. I have 50 megabits per second internet service at my house. Am I limited by the website that I'm accessing? You know, their servers or whatnot? I mean, you could have 1 gigabit per second.
You're not going to get any faster than what the server can output it to you.
Right, and are most servers at a 50 megabit per second level? Or
No. You're not. You know, most websites are going to do. It depends on how much traffic is coming at them and what kind of pipe they have to the internet. And there's no real way to know that, but anybody who's worth their salt, who's hosting a website, is going to host it on a pretty fat pipe. So right. That when you go to that website, your fast bandwidth plus their fast bandwidth means the website's going to load pretty snappy.
And most websites are giving you, text and a few pictures. Where 50 megabits and so forth comes into play, where it really works is when you're streaming video or music and being able to do multiple of that. So if you have multiple people in your home, your kids may be in their room streaming something and you're streaming something, it gives you more headroom to do more than one thing.
Right. So is there an average level that most websites are putting out? Or, because you could have 1 gigabit, but if someone's only, broadcasting at a certain level, then what can you expect,
Well, I think that's kind of I don't think that's an easy question to answer,
Too many variables.
When somebody hosts a website, they pay for a certain amount of bandwidth for that website. Now, some companies go on the cheap. Other companies realize that they're going to have thousands and thousands of customers, and they get a big fat pipe, and they serve it up as fast as you can hit it.
Well, and some people, like Netflix and some of those, they actually have caching.
No, he's talking about websites.
Systems.
He's talking about websites.
No, but these are websites. I mean, they do it with websites as well, but especially for streaming content, they set up usually they go through Akamai or somebody. They set up huge caching servers in multiple locations across the country, and then they use DNS manipulation to figure out where you're located and actually give you the IP address for the closest one, so you get less latency across the network. So if somebody doesn't have as much money and they only have one website and it's located across the country from you, then even if they have a big pipe, you're not going to get as good performance as if somebody has a server that's located in your city.
We've got pretty fast fiber at work, and the only time I ever get to see even us getting close to tapping out, our max is when I download Java packages from Sun. And for whatever reason, they can push 100 megs down.
Let me ask you,
you want to go see your speeds?
What's the real question here?
The real question is, basically because is there a way, I know I can go to speedtest.com or whatever and see my speed. Is there a way to see the website I'm accessing their speed? Or, how it's coming down, because I want to know basically if what I'm paying for is worth it, because I have 50 megabits.
Let me
go to a lower tier,
Well, let me make it a little simpler for you, perhaps.
Yeah.
Your average website does not require a lot of bandwidth. You can access most websites using a DSL, less than a megabit per second. You could 512.
May not get a super fast load on the page load, but once the page has loaded, it's done. So
where the big fat bandwidth, 50 megabits, comes into play is what Dwight was talking about. If you're streaming high definition video, or
here's
buying movies from iTunes.
Here's the big one.
Multiple users.
If you're doing BitTorrent,
Because if you're doing
BitTorrent or something like that, what BitTorrent does is it breaks up the data. So instead of downloading this one file from one location, you're actually downloading one file from anywhere from 2 or 3 to 50 or 60 locations. So it's aggregating all that data at the same time.
So you're asking the wrong question. The question you want to ask is not what can they serve to me. The question is what's my behavior and the behavior in my household, and that will answer the question as to whether
what size you're,
how do you use the internet for, because I stream video to my television and my wife streams video to her iPad, and sometimes we do that at the same time because she wants to watch Marple Mysteries and I want to watch something else. So the fat pipe there, we're using a lot of our data cap, and we're using it at a steady rate. So it's good to have the high speeds. And I do a lot of file transfers. I'm uploading files to the web server, or I'm pulling downloads, because all of my software delivery, like when I want to install a new program, I'm downloading it from the web. So I want to have those high speeds to download those large files. But if I'm only browsing the web and sending and receiving email, then perhaps a slower internet connection would be more suitable for you.
Right. What's maybe a bottom tier that you would recommend for average use, you know, not too much, you know, just average general use, checking the email and checking
website, just you?
Amazon, whatnot, yeah.
6 megs is plenty. I mean,
I would say 1.5 megs.
1.5 is fine, but you can, like, HD streaming. You can't go higher than 6.
Well, what does Comcast offer? What do the different companies offer would be a better question, because I know that the basic rate on the what they call the blast from Comcast is not terribly expensive.
It's about 25 is their current lowest. I mean, that's what they have a budget tier. But the other thing is if you do any streaming of video at all, you want at least 6 megabits.
Okay.
And then anything above, and you won't get HD probably at that. Remember that just because you have 6 megabits doesn't mean that that's what you'll get when you're connecting to it. You may get something less, because there could be all kinds of, there could be network congestion that comes and goes between you and whatever server you're at. So you want a little extra headroom. And that's why having, you know, 12, 24, 25, 50 is a good thing.
Right. So even if you're part of this whole gigabit thing, you know, Google gigabit cities or towns, you're limited.
You're waiting on the servers at that point. You're going to be faster than most things out there.
Right.
Right. Okay,
if you want to, it's always, you're going to be variable between what you're seeing, where you are, and what the website is. But if you've got Chrome and you go into View, and at the very bottom, there's a little developer menu. If you go into the JavaScript console, there is a network tab, and you can, when you reload a page, you can actually see how big everything in the page is, what the latency was, how long it took to come down. So it's kind of fun to see. It'll make you mad because you'll see that you're waiting on a lot of advertising sites and a lot of stuff that you don't know, that you wouldn't guess that you're going
but
to.
But you can also install
give you an idea of how fast the site
Chrome
is.
Ad block app.
Yeah, you can block, and, you know, or get Ghostery, see where it's going. There are a few cool things out there. But
if you install an ad block app, please turn it off when you go to cron.com.
Okay? Because you must visit all 50 of their advertising sites.
Okay. Well, thank you, guys. I appreciate it. Have a good night.
All right, you too. Thanks for your call.
All right, bye-bye.
By the way, did you know there's a Houston Reddit Twitter account that
pushes
out the stuff from the Houston subreddit?
Yeah.
I just found that. I like it.
Yeah, I published one of my...
Why don't you tell us you're following it now?
Yeah, why don't you say following,
Reddit? Tweet it and tell us
he did. I saw that, too.
Thanks.
You're welcome. Now you know.
You know, which you didn't before. I would request, now that you've kind of gone up in Twitter status over the years with how many followers you have, that, you know, you continue doing your now following, but you need to do a have been following.
Have been following.
So that the early adopters can get some of the you're following love, you know, say,
oh,
you know, because he says,
in other words,
because
you want me to do Follow Friday.
Yeah. I know that you don't do that because you say that's what your now following is.
Right.
But over time, that property has become more valuable, and the people that were early adopters of the D. Silverman Twitter account are not feeling the same love. These new people that you're now
following—they're not getting subsidies.
They felt it at the time. I look forward. I don't look backwards.
Just trying to glom on to your success.
I was gonna say the on a mission it a couple of weeks ago, but you recommended Flash Gordon, Cynthia. Well, I assume it's
the one with the Queen as the soundtrack.
Because the thing, and I agree with it because you said she liked Galaxy Quest. And Flash Gordon's kind of campy, but it's funny, and it's got, you know, sci-fi. It's kind of making fun of, like, old, you know, serial sci-fi stuff. I think it's good. And then you know, there's always that, like, the Queen soundtrack, right? And then there's always that kind of, like, you know, kind of underlying S&M B&D thing going on the whole time. That I didn't get as a kid.
Queen, Ming, and Flash, right?
Okay, here, and then
all the outfits
and then Flesh Gordon later on. You know,
fortunately, you the watch evil that with your hentai.
Now, I think that if Flash Gordon was to become a thing, then I need to show her some other movies like Rocket Man or some of the old 50s stuff. You know, that of that kind of character class. There's also the movie. The Day the Earth Stood Still and I Became a Rock and Roll Outlaw, G-Men Forever by the crew of Fireside Theater, where they took all those 50s movies and they strung them together and they provided their own dialogue.
Mystery Science Theater 3000.
Yeah, possibly that. But I will tell you, success was Galaxy Quest. Success, too, the huge surprise was Tarantula.
Which so, I don't think I've ever seen.
She now wants to see all the giant movies with, you know, the Grasshopper one, the Praying Mantis one, the Them is the one that's come up numerous times. Yeah. Them, she has to
Didn't
see.
Didn't Daryl Hannah do Attack of the 50-Foot Woman?
I'll say 50-Foot
Not woman. The newer one. She's really interested in the 1950s. She loves the posters. So I was thinking, actually, now that I think about it, don't listen, Cynthia. I might have to get her.
Show her Claude Rains, the Invisible Man.
Hmm.
Now that's movie geek
more than it. No, I think Them would be a good one. Any of that 50s stuff, and I need that means I could, that opens up
what like, about, like
Plan
the,
9
the,
from Outer Space.
The Blob.
The Blob would be great. Mm-hmm. I think The Blob would be
Steve
great.
Steve McQueen.
Lots of monster movies. There's so many. If she loves Godzilla, she already knows that she loves Godzilla. So there's a whole genre right there to explore. And
I can you go catch Pacific Rim in the theater?
You know, because of the monster movie aspect of that, that movie is almost seems like a must see.
It's Del Toro, so
huh?
It's probably gonna be pretty good.
One of the reviews said that if you just throw everything out, all your expectations out, and you go see it like you would go see a Godzilla movie, you'll enjoy
it. It's giant fighting robots. I heard the characters are flat. I heard the plot's predictable, but I don't care because, it's
Jax
giant
in it.
Fighting robots. Yeah, but I heard he's kind of flat.
It's Del Toro.
You know, you take him off a motorcycle and...
All right.
You only got 20,000 followers.
And help
Wow.
Me.
You're 7 away.
I am?
You could break the 20,000 thing during this show.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Now following Dwight Silverman.
It's D. Silverman.
D. Silverman. Now
is there a Dwight
Silverman? At D.
Silverman.
Yeah, I think I have it, but it just kind of parked.
Okay.
Oh, so at D. Silverman.
At D. Silverman.
Now following.
You know. Groovehouse.
Yes.
Who's up?
Up next on the show, we are going to speak with Pablo.
Pablo, you're on the air with Technology Bites.
Hi, guys. How are you doing?
Good.
My question is, I know that Samsung Galaxy S4 phone, it has a limitation with the application, you know, that you can only put, 8 gigs of data into the, the phone itself. So you're limited by that. My question comes, does the Samsung the Samsung tablet have the same limitation because there's no 32 gig version?
The Samsung Galaxy S4 has an SD card. You can put up to 32 gigs in the SD card slot.
Yes, I know. I can put a bunch of information on the SD card and put it on the tablet, and you know, I will be able to put everything into it. But my thing is that I know that the phone has a limitation that you can the OS is 8 gigs on the phone, right?
Right. The phone has built-in storage of 8 gig. Most well-written apps will let you tell it that you want to save data to the external SD card. But what you're asking is, does the tablet have the same limitation as the phone?
Yes.
What do they offer the Galaxy S4 in terms? Groovehouse, you're Galaxy owner, aren't you?
I am S3 owner.
The Galaxy S4, I think, comes in 16 and 32, not 8.
Yeah, I think so.
And the tablets, I'm not sure about
not
the size. I think
tablets.
The tablets come in 32 and 64.
I think so.
Do you have a Galaxy S4 now?
Well, I was thinking of getting one, but my provider doesn't have the 32, has only 16.
It has 16, but that doesn't really mean anything because you can use an SD card. Don't get hung up on the amount that's native in the phone.
But I think it's valid. He wants to know what the storage capacity is internal on the device, and that should be readily available from any website that talks about the Galaxy S4. Now, I haven't looked at this particular device myself, but what is your concern?
Well, my concern is that, you know, I know that for personal experience, I know that I need storage of 20 gigs.
Okay, well, that's what the SD card is for.
Well, hang on a second.
The thing is that, for what I heard on the S4, is that you cannot move all your applications to the external SD. You can only put it inside the you can only store pictures, movies.
Right.
The application has to allow it.
There is a 32 gig S4. There's a 16 and a 32 gig. So you can buy the 32 gig.
The phone or the tablet?
The phone.
You're interested in the tablet?
T-Mobile doesn't have it, but the AT&T has it.
Right.
That's the thing. I'm with T-Mobile.
Well.
So, you know, I thought about changing, but, you know, they will come back. They will come around.
There's another high-end phone that, again, I don't know if T-Mobile has this in 32. Have you looked at the HTC One?
I thought about it, I thought about that, but my fear is that, you know, maybe Timo will say, you know what, let's take a 32 gig out, and, you know, I'm trying to see if come around. But my thing is with the tablet.
Yeah,
I want to buy. I have several classes, and I thought about either buying the books or having everything on PDF.
What size of tablet do you want?
Well, the tablet, you can say the Barrett, go ahead.
Take a time out real quick. So you're getting confused. So when you hear of like what a device actually has as far as memory goes on the device for applications, that might be only 8 gigs. That might only be 16 gigs. But the thing is, the applications that you're going to download and run on an Android tablet, those applications, the biggest one I've seen is 15, 20 megs. So literally, you could have hundreds of applications installed and running and 8 gigs of RAM. Now, if you're downloading content like media, be them PDFs or books or music or videos, all of that can go directly on the SD card.
On the external
card. You don't have to worry about that. So those internal storage memories, like what comes native on the device, don't get nervous unless you're getting a device with under 8 gigs of storage. But everything else can and really should go on an SD card. And at that point, you can go up 32 gigs. I think some of these things even will take 64 gig cards. So plenty of storage.
The Samsung Galaxy Tab 10-1, which is their 10-inch screen, has 16, 32, and 64 gig internal capacity.
If you want internal memory, it comes on the device if you want it. But as Barrett mentioned, it's not necessarily a concern because your apps don't take up that much space and they may force you to install on the internal memory, but the data, like the PDF files, your image files, your media files, your music, that can store on the external SD card and you have basically unlimited storage.
Yeah, the only tablet you need to stay away from right now is the Nexus 7 because it does not have any external memory. no SD card slot, no anything like that. But the Samsung, all the I believe all the other Samsung tablets do.
And they're available in multiple internal memory sizes.
Yeah.
So you're covered. All right?
Okay. Well, thank you.
All right. Thank you.
That is kind of confusing as far as, you know, how much you have.
Yeah, I think it's a valid question. I mean, there used to be a concern, like, you know, the internal storage, if you have too much of a limitation on that, then you're not going to be able to install all your apps. You're not going to be able to do what you want to do. And the idea of having two different drives. I'm a fan of, like, you know, my iPhone and the iPad, so forth, like getting one that all the storage is just internal. There's no adding on cards. There's no, I need to put this here. I need to put that there. It's all in one drive. It's all in a, you know, it's just there.
But at the same time, from a pricing perspective, if I can buy a $40 SD card that would equate to the same amount as, like, $200 and, like, maybe going from the low-end, you know, iPad all the way up to, like, the one that has four times that storage, I'm going to get the SD card and, you know, save a couple hundred bucks.
What's interesting about the HTC One, and I would love to have this phone, but this is one reason why I might not get it, is that it's an Android phone, but there's no SD expansion slot in the HTC One.
You see, I don't like that. That's one of the strengths of having that Android phone, because you can browse it like a regular file system. And as much as I like the Nexus 7, that's one of the big drawbacks. Although I'll say this, I have a lot of stuff on my Nexus 7. It's a 16 gig model, I think. It's the biggest one. I have yet to blow it
16
out.
16 is the biggest?
When it came out, it was. Right. The Nexus 7, the biggest was the 16. So I got the first gen. And then when the Nexus 10 came out, it came out in larger denominations. Mm-hmm. But yeah, it was 8 and 16 when it first dropped.
Hmm. All right, Groovehouse.
Yes.
Who do we have up next?
All right, up next in the show, we're going to speak with White Wolf.
White Wolf, you're on the air.
Hello, I have a couple movie suggestions, and I'll give away my age.
Okay.
These are both saucer movies.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, back in the late 50s, early 60s, there was one where a flying saucer crashed in the Arctic, and it went in and they tried to use thermite to get it out, and it caused the saucer to explode, and they extracted portions of body limbs. It turns out it was a vegetable.
That's,
and they
the
planted
thing.
Them.
The thing from another world, right? Yeah.
The thing, yeah.
I don't remember, but I know the thing ate the wolves, or the sled dogs, sucked the blood out.
Yeah.
That's
there's
the thing.
There's the original thing, and there's
John Carpenter's thing. From the
And there's a new
80s.
Thing.
There's a remake.
There was a new
John
remake.
Carpenter,
right? Do the real thing.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, there's another one, and again, it's the same time constraint, where the saucer comes in, and the guy's got his robot helper. He gets shot. They put him in the cell. The robot realizes the guy's in serious trouble, takes him back to the ship, brings him back to life.
The day the Earth stood still.
Okay.
Yeah.
Thank you.
All right,
again,
thank you.
I'm giving away my age. I saw them when they came out. And I
wow. No, those are great. Those are great. Thanks for the suggestions.
And if you haven't done that, that's the start.
Okay. Now, I think a good old side, Day
those
of the
are good,
Earth
those
still.
Those are good choices, yeah.
And,
those are classic
and the thing
movies.
Might be good. Thing might be a little too much on the horror side. That's pretty gruesome.
No, but see, you have to think about where we're at with doing all the stuff we're doing with plants right now.
I know. They're going to get us.
And no, thing, slow down. But we don't know what we're dealing with a lot of stuff. And the next thing is when we have things that we bring people back to life with. So that's not really a bad thing. And what did he use for money? Fabricated diamonds. Basically CZ that were star-shaped diamonds that he gave to the girl because she gave him some money to get something with. Do you recall that little trinket?
No.
I promise you. And that's something that women really find impressive, is that a child helps somebody that's a stranger, and they get something back that this is just a trinket to the child, and the dad sees it, and it's worth a gazillion. Okay?
Okay.
So that's another side story. But anyhow, enjoy, and thanks for being there, guys.
All right, appreciate it.
Being that I'm computer illiterate, I still mess their minds up because I know what you're saying, and I tell it to them. What the hell do you know? I said, I got good teachers, too.
All right. Well, have a good evening. Thank you.
Bye-bye.
You could also do Pod People,
yeah,
which kind of is plants related, or The Fog.
We're getting on in years. Maybe I should watch,
Cocoon?
Cocoon.
Invasion of the Body Snatchers.
Invasion of the Body Snatchers might be good. Yeah. There's a lot of good stuff, but, you know, we're trying to maximize. I'm really enjoying sharing this with her, or having this experience, and having Friday night and even Saturday nights just hanging out and watching a film, and having, you know, a bottle of wine and just eating some cheese and watching some cheese, and it's been good fun. But the EPO experience is ongoing because we bought some stuff. She's actually tried to make this thing she saw on the internet, and she wants to make it. And of course, when she says she wants to make it, it entails actually having.
Oh, you talked about it last time, I think. It's the one that uses a speaker to make patterns.
Yeah, and, where you do the different tone generator to do different frequencies, and the salt changes shape.
Yeah.
On the and
you can do that in
Make standing wave patterns.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, we've got everything except for the metal plate. So she's got, one of her friends is supposed to be trying to make her the metal plate that we can attach to everything else. But we've got the amplifier and all that stuff.
Is it a dry substance, or are you going to mix it with water and do the other
dry
one?
Oh, okay. I saw the other one.
With cornstarch is pretty cool. You can actually put cornstarch on speakers, and if you get the amplitude right, it'll actually come up and look really cool.
Yeah. Not quite ready to be that messy.
I like the idea
of having her use some of the fiber, light up fibers into.
Did you get a shirt out of it?
Yeah.
I mean, the stuff is washable, and you can actually snap the battery packs in and out, so it's buttons. So, I mean, I would like to do stuff like that, but I can't sew at all. So, I mean, she was the perfect candidate to make really cool electrical kind of stuff.
Well, I have to come over.
I would help. Yeah, I would oversee the circuitry.
We have an opportunity here in September to spend 2 weeks in close proximity hatching a brilliant plan, so keep that in mind. All right, so we are running out of time, which is fine because we're out of calls. We're out of touch, we're out of time.
Uh-oh, hackers just cued our music.
You know, we're merciless sometimes, but, you know, think about all the good that we do or something. All right, so it seems like it should be later in the month, but it's not. It's
about the middle of the month.
About the middle of the month.
I know, it's racing.
So it's hackers.
What's that?
The music was doing things, and it was the hackers. They're controlling it via the web.
You should probably have the hackers Rickroll us. That would
there'd be a lot more Rickrolling going on.
That's true. I don't know. Hackers. You know, I will say in the last few minutes here, one of the biggest problems I've seen with, it's not, once somebody tried to say that I sent them to a bad link in my column, and it turns out that they just decided to make up their own URL and typed it in to go looking for whatever it was.
Type in whatever you want.
People just make weird mistakes, and that will happen. What? Oh, yeah, we got to go. You're listening to this has been Technology Bites. I'm Jay Lee.
I'm Peter Hughes.
I'm Flicted.
I'm Barrett.
I'm Dwight.
And he's
Groovehouse.
We'll see you next week.
Who needs a car and a 747 when you can't buy a gas?
Go green and get rid of your old gas guzzler. KPFT will take your car, running or not, and turn it into a different kind of green. Money for the radio station. It's easy. Call our toll-free number at 1-855-573-8227 and let us haul away your vehicle and give you a tax receipt for your donation. Call now or go to kpft.org and click on More Ways to Give. We are listener-sponsored, commercial-free, Pacifica Radio, KPFT, Houston.
There's no more left to buy and sell. There's no more oil left in the well. The gallon of gas can't be purchased anywhere. The only amount of cash.
Saturday, July 27th sees us slicing the 27th annual Watermelon Dance and Summer Social at Houston's Last Concert Cafe. This KPFT benefit features Flounders Without Eyes, the Jimmy Lee Dean Band, Premium Blend, Pot Roast, the Hightailers, and from Austin, a 15-piece Talking Heads cover band, Heartburn. Performances by Mark Burma, Charity Ann, Atomic Nightingales, and Belly Dancing by the Tribe of Lilies will be blended in for a nonstop thrill. Doors at 3, music will start around 4. The door fee is $20 for one or $30 for two, and the proceeds benefit your community radio station, KPFT. So join us at 1401 Nan Street, the Last Concert Cafe, when we'll be serving up the other red meat, watermelon. 90.1 KPFT, Houston.
Meat, meat, the other red meat. Meat, meat, the other red meat.